who came into this troubled world to give us peace, to give us eternal life, to forgive us of our sins, to be made part of his family. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming, searching for us, and finding us, and saving us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Pray that you will come amongst us and be glorified. Pray, Lord, that as I read your word, speak about your word, Lord, I pray that those words will not be mine. It will be yours, Lord. Pray, Father, for the aid or the help of the Holy Spirit to take these words and apply it to my heart before it applies to them, Lord. Those who are listening, Lord. Because we are all sinners, we need your grace and your mercy, Lord. I worship you and I thank you, Lord. Take charge of this time, Lord. I give it into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. If we are to ask, what brought Jesus Christ to say these words to the disciples? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. To find the answer, we need to go back a couple of chapters, 12 and 13. And it tells us that Jesus, in chapter 13, verse 1, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At this time, chapter 13 tells us that Jesus knew that his time has come to leave this world. That would mean that he would be handed over to the sinful man, as the Gospels predicted when Jesus told his disciples, that he would be handed over to sinful man and be crucified and be buried and rise up on the third day. And also verse 3 tells us, chapter 13, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. So he was telling his disciples what would happen to Jesus. Hearing this, they probably got afraid, because a lot has happened in chapter 3. Jesus decided to show his humility, being God, becoming a man, and even going lower by washing the feet of Jesus, the feet of his disciples. And what does he do? Take a water, put it into the bowl, washes their feet, cleanses them with the towel that he was girded with. And then further on, Jesus predicted his betrayal, that one of his disciples would betray him. One of his disciples would deny him. And then he says in verse 31, by this, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the both will be glorified. Because of the death and the resurrection, through the work of salvation, will be complete. Then he goes on to say in verse 33, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I will say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. So basically what he was telling his disciples, that he will be handed over to the Jewish authorities, and they will in turn hand it over to the Roman authorities. So after telling him that he will die and they will seek him, they will not find him, there is a little while longer with him, and then he won't be with them. And then he comes to this place, chapter 14, verse 1. Now at this time, Jesus has entered to Jerusalem. He's coming to the end of his life. And they are in the upper room where they had their the Lord's Supper. He comes here and he says to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And if you look at this verse, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Why would their hearts be troubled? Because the trouble is around them. Being with Jesus, the troubles follows us. It follows the disciples. Because they know they are with Jesus. And he also told them that he's going to leave this world. And that is why they would be afraid. They would be left alone. They would be on their own. There will no longer be Jesus with them. So their hearts are troubled. But Jesus, if you read from chapter 13 onwards, I did mention chapter 12, but I'll leave that out. But if you see chapter 13, that all the trouble that Jesus is going through is about Jesus, him going through all the difficult times, all the persecution that will come upon him. Persecutions will come upon him. But then, in that midst of crisis that Jesus is going to face, he's telling his disciples, "Do not be troubled." He's not concerned about himself. He's not concerned about what will happen to him. What is he concerned about? His disciples. In our lives, so many times, we face difficulties. We do not face difficulties such as these that these disciples faced and the Lord Jesus faced, because they were crucified. Jesus was crucified to fulfill the purpose of the Lord Heavenly Father, and the disciples were crucified for the purpose that the word would be taken into the ends of the world. We haven't gone through such difficulties, but we do face our difficulties each day, every day. Whether we are at home, whether we are at work, whether we are shopping, wherever we go, we see the world is rushing so much. It's in a rush and it's in a hurry. But in the midst of this, Jesus says to us and his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." And he's also saying, you could say that this is a command, believe in God. And also saying, believe also in me. Whatever we go through, whatever difficulty that we face, whatever our utmost difficult, what we need to do at that time, we need to have our faith strengthened by the Lord Jesus, by his words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Trust in him and believe in God and believe in Jesus, that he is with us and he will help in our difficult times. Because I know that no life is easy in this world, especially if you're a Christian. Because the difficult times are coming upon Christians where he can't even say to anybody, because I heard that this saying of Jesus, that "I am the way, the truth and the life," that we can't speak that word to people. Because there are other faiths, not just Jesus alone. So we are scrutinized, we are brought into a corner where we can only say to one another. So therefore, we are living in difficult times. We are to take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Let not your heart be troubled," because our hearts are full of trouble, because they easily get upset, easily are distracted, easily are in turmoil. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. It were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When we want to buy a house, anybody who is buying a house, or anybody has bought a house, what we do? We inspect it. We ask the agents, make an appointment, and we go see the house. We see the rooms of the house. We see the garden. We see the kitchen. We see the bathroom. And when we read that the Father's house, we immediately think heaven. That's our house. But if we look a bigger picture, that house has many dwelling places, many mansions. And Jesus said that if they were not so, I would have told you. Because they are, I am telling you that the Father's house has many dwelling places. And I am going to prepare a place for you. Disciples, you and me, all those who are sitting, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And if you look at the picture, the Father, the Son, and you, it's threefold. Father's house, the Son is preparing, and he's having a guest. That means he's having his people, preparing for his people. And what do you do when any guests come into our houses? What we do, we get the Hoovers out, we get our best dishes out, we prepare the best food. We do everything to make it look so sparkling clean. And Jesus is doing that for us. He's preparing a place for us. What a wonderful news to hear that Jesus, God himself coming as a man, going back into heaven, preparing a place for his disciples, preparing a place for you, preparing a place for me, to live forever and ever. And then he made a promise that if I go, verse 3, if I go, I will prepare a place and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what Jesus is going to do? His promise is that he's coming back again. In one of the Gospels, he says, the angel says to the disciples, he says, the same way that you see him go into heaven, you will see him the same way coming back into the world. So we are expecting our King to come back and to take us to be with him. Where he is, there we will be also. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the date. We don't know the year. It could be today, could be tomorrow, could be many years, could be 100 years. We don't know. Only the Father knows. Not even Jesus, he said, that I don't even know. But he's coming. He's going to take us to be with him. Where he is, there we will be also. And then he says in verse 4, and you know the way where I am going. We all know that where Jesus has gone. And we all know that he has entered into heaven after going onto the cross, dying and being buried and being raised up on the third day, and that he was lifted up into heaven. We know where he's gone. He's in heaven preparing a place for us, and he's awaiting. We await his coming. But Thomas, and you know Thomas, when Jesus died and he came into the room a week before after rising, and then Thomas wasn't there. The following week, Thomas was there and says, well, Thomas, when first time Jesus appeared, he wasn't there. So when the disciples told him, he says, I will not believe unless I put my hand in my finger in the nail prints or my hand in the side. So the following week he was there. Jesus says to him, Thomas, put your hand in the nail prints and put your hand in my side. Be believing, not unbelieving. Then he said, my Lord, my God. He is the same Thomas, says to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. So how do we know the way? Jesus tells him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What a statement. What a big statement that is. If you want to go to God, if you want to face Jesus, God the Father, if you want to know about God, come to Jesus. He is the way. The Bible tells us that God is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. When God created Adam and Eve, first Adam, he breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. Jesus said, I am the life. He is the life giver. God gave Adam life. God, Jesus said, I am the life. And if you want to go and know about God, come to me. The way to God is through me. Because I am telling you the truth. I am the truth. And I am giving you eternal life. You will have that life. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is only one way to God. It's like a maze, if you know what maze is. There is one way in, one way out. But there are so many roads that are blocked that you can't go. You have to go that way. It's all closed up, and then you got to come back and find another way. Then you got to come back, and you got to find the right way to go to the other end. It's like a maze with all the other religions. But Jesus said that if you want to start from this end, you want to go to the other end, come to me, I am the way, I will take you to that end, to the final destination. Oneness with Jesus, with Father. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus goes on further to say to Thomas, now you know him, you know me. And if you would have known me, you have known my Father. Also now you know him and you have seen him. Now Jesus is talking to Thomas now. He's answering his question. We don't know the way, and we don't know where you're going. But he's saying that if you known me, you would have known the Father. He's also saying that now you know him and you have seen him. Jesus is sitting there talking to Thomas and is telling him that you're saying to me that you don't know the way and you don't know where I'm going. But Jesus is saying to him, you know him. You know me, you know him. You see, now that you know him, that you also have seen him. And Jesus was saying that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. After Jesus saying this, that you know him and you have seen him, and Philip comes in and asks another question. And Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. We all read it and just quickly say, Philip said to this Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. But if we look deeper into this verse, Philip does not know what he's asking. And the reason I say that, and if you look into the book of Exodus, I think chapter 18, verse 33, Moses on the mountain says to Lord God the Father, says, show me your face. Show me your glory. God said, nobody can see me and live. If anybody sees me, he will die. Philip is asking the Lord Jesus to show him the Father And he says, that's enough for us. But he doesn't know what the consequences will be. He asks for a biggest thing that nobody can see. And we can see God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we carry on verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? If he who has seen me has seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus puts him right by saying, Philip, how long have I been with you? I've been with you with so long, and yet you have not come to know me. And that's the question Jesus put to Philip. Don't you know me? How long have you been with me? And then he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. What Jesus is saying to Philip, you've been with me for so long, you have come to know me. You know that you know me, you know the Father. You know him. So how can you say, show us the Father? How can you say, show us the Father? Now we living in this world, and we sometimes say, who has seen God? God Rabnu kene dekhya. That's, they can say that because they do not know God. We as Christians, we can say that we have been with Jesus for so long, we have known him, and because we have known him, we know the Father. He's holy, he's almighty, he's all-knowing, he's all-glorious, he's all-powerful. And that's our God. We know him because we believe in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is within us. Because his Holy Spirit lives within us. Then he says to Philip, do you not believe that I am in the Father? He asks him a question. Do you not believe? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. Don't you believe that you've seen me, you see the Father in me? Whatever Jesus did, whatever Jesus was on this earth, that was God the Father in him. And he says to him, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. He says, I'm speaking to you the things of God, the things that I have been speaking to you, have been saying to you, those are not my words. Those words are from God. They are God's word, the Father's words. Their words are in me and I'm speaking to you. In the same way we can speak to one another, open our Bibles, when we go into our homes or home groups, or if we visit somebody, you've been to visit the brother Dharampal, and you can open your Bible and say, look, but this is what Jesus is saying to me. This is what Jesus is saying to me. This is what God is saying to me. So we can encourage one another. The words that you and I, we speak with one another, it's not our own words. These are the words from the Bible. It's God's words, and God's words that we speak to encourage one another. He says, I do not speak on my own. These words are initiatives. And they are from God. Then he goes on to say, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Jesus said, even the words that I speak are from God. The works that I do in this world, they are Father who lives in me. And that is the work that I'm doing because he lives me. In other words, the Father living in me is the one that's doing the work. Believe me that I am in the Father. See, if we think about it in human terms, how can one be in one another? If I says to our brother over there, and Atul says, I am within him and he is in me, how can that be? Because he's sitting over there, I'm sitting here. But he's talking spiritual things. So by spirit, we can be in one another. Because if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us the helper. And what did he say? That he will abide in you. And we all have said this many a times to one another. Even I said it in there. please pray for me. He says, don't worry, brother, the Lord is with us. How is with us? He's within our hearts. His Holy Spirit lives within us. So he is with us all the time. He's in us. And Jesus said that I am in the Father is in me, I am in you, you are in me. So it's threefold. And threefold. Verse 12. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. So Jesus telling his disciples, the works that I do, you will do even more. Because I go to the Father, you will have the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit you will do a greater works. And some people take this work, the verses, to use wrongly. Because Jesus has given me the power. You hear it on the TV most of the time. God has given me the power. He has given me the greater works that I'll do, all because they want to gain some riches. And some use it for their gain. We'll leave it there. Because God's word is truth, and Jesus tells us truthfully that we are to believe in him, and we are also to do the work that he's given us to do. Before he went to heaven, he has given us a great commission. Go into the whole world and make disciples. And that's our work now. Because he's gone to the Father, he's there doing the intercession for us. While we're on earth, we are always falling short. We are always lacking. We are always falling. We are always weak. We are always asking the things that we can't do. We want to do the things that we can't do. But Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. See, so many times we ask things that are not necessary. The things that people ask other denominations make us rich and give us big cars, big houses. Jesus doesn't want to ask any of these. He wants us to ask him to forgive us, to cleanse us, to wash us, and also to ask him to be with us, be our Lord, be our Savior, be our God. That's what he wants. He wants an interaction. He wants a fellowship with one another. What he wants is threefold or manifold relationship. And therefore, when we are in need, personal needs, family needs, we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him. You know, the 70 were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. When they came back, so many of them went away. The disciples remained. The disciples remained. And Jesus said to them, do you want to go also? Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. My personal experience is, when I'm going through problems, when I'm facing difficulties, the things that I can't do, I cannot go to any relatives. I can't go to any other person or friends or relatives, because I know what they're going to say to me, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. But that's not the answer that I want. Because they can't give me peace, they can't give me satisfaction, and they can only say the words that they have learned from their elders. But my experience tells me that whenever I go to the Lord Jesus Christ, he may not answer immediately, but he does answer. And he also gives peace in my heart. I know I go to Jesus because he listens to my prayer. I know that Jesus will answer my prayer. And my prayers and your prayers and our prayers are not in vain. They go to him as like a burning aroma. It's an aroma to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father also, that our prayers are like an aroma. They're not empty words. They're not babbling about. But we speak with our Lord Jesus Christ through our prayers with meaningfulness words. And that is why we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have no one else to go to. If we had anybody else to go to, we would have chosen. But thank God there is no one else. Thank God there is only one Jesus. There is only one God. There is only one Jesus who died, who rose again, and is living forever and ever. And that is where he's going to take us. And that is why we go to him. We have no one apart from Jesus. And if we ask anything in Jesus' name, he will answer our prayers. He will give it to us. And we don't ask riches of this world. We don't ask big houses. We don't ask for big cars. We ask what is needed for our personal life, our spiritual life. And that is what he gives. And he also gives us a command in the end. If you have love, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, this is what Jesus wants us to do. Because he loved us and gave himself for us, he's giving us a command to love him. If we love him, we are to keep his commandments, and we also to love one another. And that is what Jesus wants us to do. And it is his command that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. In other words, we will keep his word. We will keep his word like a light in our hearts, a light to our feet. Well, the path we tread on, that will be in the light, not in the dark. We have been brought out of the light, darkness, into his marvelous light. And who has done that? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one. And no one else can take his place, and no one else can do it. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and he has given us a hope that one day that we will be with him where he is, there we will be also. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.